Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
This morning I'm going to preach about a blind man. That then when he saw, he could look into the eyes of Jesus. We must learn to trust him. And as we look into the book of St. John, chapter number 9 and verse number 1, Jesus passed by and he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Because they believed that if somebody had some kind of a physical deficit, then surely somebody had sinned in their family or they had sinned. That was just the mindset of their age. Verse 3 says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and he made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seen. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, "Therefore, if any man or if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This morning, I want to speak on this subject matter, the road to new. Or the pathway to new. Thank you for standing in honor to the God's word. You may be seated. Thank you for worshiping. The miracle working power of God is revealed in Jesus Christ because he was God in flesh. Jesus was the image of the invisible God. Jesus, the Bible says, was the express image of his person. Many are the examples we read of instantaneous change in the physical circumstances of an individual's life when Jesus spoke a word or touched the individual with his hand. It's marvelous to visualize what we read in the Word of God. Now, there are a lot of special effects that our world uses in movies and videos and presentations that can capture our attention. But to me, the most fabulous stories are the ones where we have to imagine and we have to think about the way it was. When we read books, it's all up here in our imagination. And we imagine what the characters look like. And we can imagine the smells because of the descriptive terminology of the author. And so it is with the Word of God. We don't need a video presentation. But we can just put ourselves in that time and place. Many are the examples where we see God working. The power over elements of nature when Jesus instantly calmed the raging sea, or the multiplication of the fish and bread to the hungry and the wonder that must have been in their eyes. The water he turned into wine, the dead boy being raised from the bier on which he lay and returned to the arms of his mother and the joy in her spirit. The leprous man made completely whole. Or the lame beggar leaping and praising God. Or the tongue of the dumb that sang for the first time in its life. In each instance, the voice of the master and the faith of the needy blended together to produce the miraculous. And it's still that way today. The faith of each individual or group of individuals was revealed in the way that they responded to Jesus. James gives us an understanding of the need to declare our faith through action. And that's what you're doing here in the house of God. You believe that the Bible says that we need to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. So we get together. We show our faith in the Word of God. And by the way, just so you know, our gathering together is not to defy the government. It's to submit to God. What we're doing is not anti-government. It's pro-God. And if pro-God happens to be anti-government, that's just the way it is. in James chapter number 2, the apostle or the bishop of the church at Jerusalem says in verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. If you believe there is one God, you do well. Even the dead demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? In other words, he's saying the devils or the demons believe in one God, but they don't do anything about it except for fight against that one God. Today I am preaching about the road to new. And today I want to challenge us that God doesn't always just drop in our lap what we want. He doesn't just give it to us. It's like if you get a new job. Hey, you got a new job. Oh, great. Where's my paycheck? No, come to work. Put in your time, and at the proper time, your paycheck will be released to you. I don't know why some would think that God would work any different when the laws of commerce work that way in our world. There seem to be some significant differences between miracles that this man received and many of the other miracles of Jesus. And I would like for us to take a look briefly at another incident where Jesus healed a blind man. Jesus is walking near Jericho and with his disciples, and there's a blind man sitting by the roadside begging, and he heard the stirring of the crowd perhaps, and he asked for the reason of the commotion. And he was told that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And so the man cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they told him to shut up, and he just cried louder and louder because it wasn't about how they felt, it was about what he needed. And the attention of Jesus is eventually obtained. And Jesus then, when he sees the man, asks what he wants. Now, this seems like a crazy thing to ask a blind man what he might want. But it's not always apparent on the surface what is wanted or what is needed by an individual. And also, it is important that we voice our need to Almighty God. He said, you have not because you ask not. Ask and receive that your joy may be full. And so the blind man requests that he would receive his sight. And in verse 42 of Luke 18, Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now, this is the way we all dream of our change coming or our prayers being answered. We hear the call of God. He asks what we need. We tell him what we want. Request granted. Boom, done. We go home and say, "Woo, hallelujah. Man, I checked my bank account in the lobby of the church, and it's just been refilled." And we expect it to be fuller than we are of the Holy Ghost. And I don't know where that came from. But there it is. Is we want God to just bang. Instantaneously answer all our prayers. And there are times when God does instantaneously respond to us. We cry out to him and say, God, I need refreshing. And poof, the refreshing of God comes. Or God, I need peace. And peace saturates us. And all the other emotions that are negative just evaporate. But today I'm preaching about the road to new. There's some walking that we must do in our life. The work of God is often instantaneous, but I have found that most often it is a participation that I have to have with God in order to see accomplish what God wants or what I want. Remember, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, perhaps as we journey through this miracle, we will be inspired to activate the miracle working power of God in our individual situations. And I hope today that by the time we're done, that we will be willing to walk to the front of this auditorium symbolically and saying, okay, I'm getting on the road to new. I'm getting on the road to my miracle. I'm going to step out. And it may not be the physical step that gets us where we need to go, but that physical physical step will take us in a mental and emotional and spiritual transition where we'll say, okay, God, I'm laying aside my will, or okay, God, I'm worshiping you, or okay, God, I'm submitting my life to you. So Jesus sees the blind man. The disciples ask why he's blind. Is it his fault? But he says, no, this is so the works of God may be manifest. This is so you can see how great I am. Don't forget what God does in my life, in your life, is so others can see what he is doing, so they know how great he is, not how deserving we are. Jesus declared, I am the light of the world. This wasn't so somebody else could get glory, but so everybody would know he's the one that turns the light on, that gives the ability to see. So God in the flesh, hocks a loogie and spits on the ground, makes mud. Patricia was talking about today how one time a preacher was preaching and spit on her hand, and she was just kind of grossed out, and the guy went back on the platform, and I saw it and laughed, and I said, preacher spit can fix anything, but you know, it's just like, oh man, Jesus did it on purpose. He didn't spit in his eye, but he spit on the ground, and he mixes it, and he makes mud and slaps it in his face. We say, God, do something great, and he does something that seems to humiliate us. We say, God, do something amazing, and he goes, okay, I'll show you. The amazing is not like Hollywood style. The amazing is not to feed our flesh. The amazing is not to make us feel good. The amazing or the miraculous is to reveal who he is. So it's not about me and you, it's about him. It's about his glory and his power. Now, that's hard for us to remember sometimes. That's hard for us to see that it's all about him. And sometimes we can easily forget that it is about him. It's about his power. It's about his glory. It's about his goodness. But you know, God is working on us. And he's got us on the potter's wheel. And he's got us on the anvil. And he's hammering us. And he's heating us. And he's filing us. And there's grief in our life. And sometimes there is pain in our life. But that pain in our life, hopefully, will lend itself to something eternal that ends in the glory of the heavens that fades not away. And that's what he said in the book of Corinthians. You know, this pressure we're having right now is working something in us of eternal value. The King James says a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory is happening in us. It says, oh, there's pain here on this earth, but oh, the glory on the other side is not just going to be commensurate, but it's going to be compounded with entrance. You know, when Jesus says, if you leave father and mother and houses and lands, I'm going to give it back to you in this life and in the life to come, life everlasting. We're paying it forward is what we're doing. We're investing in eternity. Now that's hard for you and I to see. Jesus doesn't just spit in the ground and slap it in his face, but he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man went to the pool and he washed. And the Bible says he came seeing. The change in the man was so dramatic, there was argument over if he was true, whether or not he was truly the man that had been born blind. I'm speaking about the road to new. There is something about the common sense of a man that will tell him that he needs to take the first step. Dreaming about achieving is not achievement. Talking about change will not affect change. Planning to build a house will not erase the structure. There must be action. There must be movement. There must be change of direction. We don't just think about it and it happens. We don't just think about it and God does it. I'm preaching about the road to new. God has given you and I the privilege of becoming actively involved in our redemption, actively involved in our restoration, actively involved in the provision that he has given to you and I. He didn't make us just lumps of clay that we just sit around. No, but he gave us his spirit that motivates us to do the good works that he has designed for us to do. And as we follow him, as we reach to him, as we obey his call, something happens. The important steps in the process of this miracle were the steps that the blind man took toward the pool. The first step is the hardest, and it seems like the last step is the longest. So in our spiritual recovery, or our spiritual liberation, or our spiritual restoration, think about that. It is so hard sometimes to take that first step of saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Of saying, I am wrong. I need help. I can't do this by myself. That's so difficult for our human nature, and our culture does not promote that. Our culture right now especially is saying, it's somebody else's fault I am where I am. But that's not going to get us where we need to go. The victim mentality is not the mentality that Christ has given us. For we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave his life for us. We are not victims, we are victors. Carnal wisdom says the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. That's what Confucius says. But I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul says in God's holy word in 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't say we begin by faith and not by sight. It said we walk by faith and not by sight. That's just the way it is. Sometimes we can't explain why, but we can say what. We're walking by faith. God says, walk this direction. And we walk the direction that God tells us to walk. Because we know if we'll walk the way he tells us to walk and complete the task that he tells us to complete, that he will give the miraculous. The facts are, this man had to be pointed in the right direction. The individual had to make his way to the pool in the same darkness he had walked in for a lifetime. This was a faith walk. I want to say to us this morning, I want to remind us, we want to see the end before we even begin. But that's not the way it is. It's a faith walk. He says, you walk as I tell you to walk, and you leave the destination up to me. We don't know what heaven's like. All we have is the descriptive terminology that John could explain in his own vernacular and his own imagination and what he had seen and known. You see, this man had to go to a place that perhaps he had never been before, and he definitely had not seen. But he still found it necessary to negotiate the crowded streets of the capital city. He had to keep his mind fixed on the command of Jesus, and he needed to push beyond all rational thinking. Folks, that's sometimes the way it is for you and I. Even after being born again, God says, march this way, walk this way. And our carnal flesh wants to say, why? And sometimes I just have to say to my flesh, shut up and listen and do what he says. It's kind of, my parents didn't say it quite that way, but they just said, do what I told you. We were so smart when we were 16 years old, weren't we? We were brilliant. But sometimes, I don't know how it is, our intelligence diminishes by the time we're 38. It's just like we're not near as smart or bright. And we're saying the same thing to our children. And I remember talking to Brandon one time, and he said to one of his children, just because I said so. I said, man, I waited a long time to be able to say that. Because he heard it a lot from his parents. This man could have said, really, Pulev Shalom? Hey, you just spoke to that other guy. The other blind man that we find record of, Jesus speaks and he says, I see men as trees walking. And so Jesus speaks again, and then he sees clearly this guy. He says, you got to work for it. Wow. You see, our entitlement society, we want to sit on the pew. We want to come and we want to feel the presence of God that comes because of everybody else's praise and say, well, I showed up, God, now give it to me. This isn't God's soup line. You know, he's not just ladling out blessings because we happen to show up. For we walk by faith and not by sight. This man needed to push beyond all his rational thinking, and he had to shut out the what ifs. What if it doesn't happen? What if I can't get there? What if I can't find it? What if I can't really see? He was forced to ignore the doubtful thoughts crowding into his mind, heading in the right direction. Helps to dispel the thoughts and the fears and the doubts. The Bible says if we'll commit our way to the Lord, our thoughts will be established. Let's just walk the way he tells us to walk. I'm talking about the road to new. He had to put his faith to work. James 2 and 20 in the Message translation says, use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse in your hand? You see, the miracle of this blind man is that he would have died blind if he had not taken the road to the pool. So verse 7 of John 9 says, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he washed and he came back seeing. So he went and he came back to Jesus. He went and washed and he came back. He went and he washed and he came back seeing. He walked to the pool and he washed and he came back rejoicing because he could see. And so it is with all who seek spiritual newness that comes through Jesus Christ. We've got to walk by faith and not by sight. He's put us on a road. Let's just keep walking on the road. The miracle's on the way. It's not back where we came from. It's not in regressive exploration and saying, oh, what happened in my past to make me a freak? No, it's not about what happened in your past to make you a freak. It's about who is in your life right now that can liberate you from your fear, from your doubt, from your sin, from your shame. You see, this is why it's so depressing when we follow the guidance of this world and the enemy of our soul. It's all about his past to him, because he had a glorious past. He was in the presence of Almighty God worshiping. He was in the midst of the glory. But the future is in outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But you and I, he found us in sin and shame and darkness and fear. We were spiritually blinded, but now the light's on and we can look in his glorious face. And we know that we're going to a place where there is no night, to a city where the Lamb is the light. Let us read again the words of Paul in three different translations. The Living Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. The Message translation reads, now we look inside and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, in is created new. The old life is gone and a new life burgeons. Look at it. I return to our original translation, the New King James. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so there are some steps that you and I must take to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I realize in this early service, I'm not preaching primarily to those that haven't been born again, but those who have been born again. But that doesn't mean we quit walking. For we walk by faith. Oh, that's hard. Why? Because our world wants to walk by sight. But I tell you what, they're not as bright as they think they are, because a lot of things they thought they bought, they didn't buy what they thought they bought. They're getting it home. You look in politics today, and people thought it was going to be one way, and it's totally a different way, and they're frustrated and infuriated, some of them, and some of them are satisfied. We don't always get what we want. Pride can keep us from admitting our need and looking to Jesus in our time of need. Logic can cloud the spiritual perception, and it keeps us from accepting the solution from God. Humanism will tell us if we go back to the point of our failure, we can analyze the situation and make critical adjustments and put the failure to rest and move on as a new creation. And fear can hinder us from moving forward. It's often our flawed thinking that gets us into a compromising or bad situation. It is carnal human rationalization that keeps you and me from thinking like God. And it's our mortal experience and limited way of viewing life that impedes the process of reconciliation to God. We've got to start thinking new, and we've got to start walking the way He wants us to walk. And if you're walking the way He wants you to walk, I applaud and commend you for what you are doing, because it's the road to new. You will find newness along that road. You will find freshness along that road. You will find deliverance along that road. I quote the brilliant scientist Albert Einstein. The significant problems we face cannot be solved at the same level of thinking we were at when we created them. I'm going to read that again. I know it's not scripture. The significant problems we face cannot be solved at the same level of thinking we were at when we created them. So why should we try to go back and analyze through the world's process to find out how to get to where we want to go? I bought a few self-help books and I got them on my shelf, and they're buried on my shelf. Because it's not about the way I think that's going to get me to where God thinks. How about if we get somebody's fresh view? We get a view from the Word of God. You see, it was our stinking thinking that got us in our problem to start with. We think we can just analyze our way out of it. I'm preaching about the road to new. You and I must turn to the thinking God has shown in the Holy Scriptures. It was the day of Pentecost, and the crowd had gathered to witness the phenomenon of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And after having received the Holy Ghost, Peter, who had once thought, "Oh, I'm going to save the master by cutting off the ear of the servant of the high priest." It was Peter who once said, "Hey, you want me to call down fire from heaven for you, God in the flesh?" It was Peter who had said, "Oh, there's the Mount of Transfiguration. Let's build three tabernacles, one to you and one to Moses and one to Elisha." No, his thinking didn't get him where he needed to go, but now he had fresh thinking in the Holy Ghost, and he looked at the crowd, and he told the crowd that they were wrong. And when he preached to them, it revealed their wickedness, and their wickedness had caused them to cry, "Crucify him, crucify him." And the crowd understood that the solution to their problem could not be found at the level of thinking that had led them to the point of crying, "Crucify him." And this is the struggle that we have all the time, continually, day by day. We wake up and we've got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, because the world keeps telling us we can do it or we're the victim. The world keeps telling us that God should not be in charge, that we should take charge of our life. The world keeps telling us there is no God, there is no morality. And I heard it from the Senate floor today, that God has no place in this body. As someone was declaring God's will and God's purpose and God's design and God's word, we don't give any respect to God. So our world looks at it that way, but it's just going to get the problem deeper and deeper and deeper. But oh, if I could get the mind of God, the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ was revealed in Acts 2 and 38 when Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." I don't think they understood it all, but they obeyed it. And many of those present did find newness of life. They mixed their faith with works, and they took blind steps of faith. They could not prove that repentance would bring forgiveness. They could not prove that baptism would remit their sins. They could not prove that they would receive the Holy Spirit. They could not prove that this was the remedy for their sin. They had no human evidence that this was the way to newness of life. But they walked the road to new, and they found the promises of God to be true. And in verse 41 it says, "Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day were about 3,000 souls were added unto them." The concept of faith shown by action is not foreign to the working of God. I'm preaching about the road to new. God called on men and women throughout the generations of time and said, "I've got a place for you. I've got a mission for you. You're going to be a deliverer. You're going to be a recipient of great things." And Noah had to build an ark so that he and his family could be saved. And it was 125 years in the making. Abraham had to leave Haran to become the father of the faithful. Moses had to return to Egypt to become a deliverer and a prophet. The Hebrew people had to leave Egypt to inherit the land of promise. God had to robe himself in flesh to save mankind. Cornelius had to send for Peter and obey his command to be saved. And when the apostle John wrote to the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, his instructions mandated movement on the part of individuals to activate the mercy of God that we restore their vibrancy and his spirit among them. The command to each one of the churches was repent. And as you stand with me this morning, I just want to tell you that God is asking you and I to walk the road. If you have never repented of your sin, you're going to have an opportunity. And we're going to open this altar, and I'm going to encourage you to just walk up to the front and raise your hands and say, "Lord, I am sorry for the way I've been living, and I want to live right. I'm going to surrender my life to you." What is it you need or want from God today? There are some of you that are in this auditorium today that are longing for radical spiritual change. Maybe you're here today looking for direction, or perhaps you've sauntered along the road of lukewarmness and you need a fire built inside you. You feel alienated from God by your past actions, maybe your recent past actions, or do you feel resentment toward God for not just giving you what you want? Are you desiring spiritual renewal? In the same fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians in verse 20, Paul says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as through God, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I am going to ask you in just a few minutes to take steps toward this altar and walk the road toward new. The first step on this road is for everyone the same. It's repentance. It was declared by Jesus Christ. In one place, they were complaining because the Galileans were mixing their own blood with the blood of sacrifices. And they said, "Those people are really bad." But Jesus said in Luke 13 and 3, "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Today is not a time to think about how bad everybody else is. It's about what I need to do in the presence of God. Now, this is just the way I have noticed it to be in my life. Sometimes there's repentance for sins of commission, what we committed, and there's repentance for sins of omission, what we have not done. And the next step is baptism into Christ Jesus. Romans 6 and 3 says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? But the beauty is what happens in verse number 3. It says, I'm reading a different translation. It says, or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? This is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into a new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. And then there's the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which is available to us all today. Or perhaps you've already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you just need to let it flow through you again. Don't let the enemy tell you you have to go back and do penance. You know what penance is, right? It's where if you feel bad enough for enough days, it's all right for you to feel good for one. If you go back and punish yourself mentally, emotionally, physically, true penance, you see it sometimes in some countries, especially in the Philippines around Easter time, people will walk down what they call the Via Dolorosa, which is the road to the cross, but it really doesn't lead to the cross because it's not even in the right country, and they will beat themselves with cats of nine tails because they feel like if they punish themselves enough, they can share in the glory of God. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Thank you, Lord. It's time to activate the miracle-working power of Jesus. If you've not begun a relationship with Jesus, take the first step. If you're lukewarm, let this be a step for a turnaround. And if you're stagnated in your relationship with God, maybe you just need to walk out into the aisle and come to the front and say, okay, God, I'm tired of day-old bread. How about something fresh? If you're waiting for a miracle from God and He has spoken direction to you, it's time to take that blind step of faith. I read to you the words of the Apostle James and ask you to respond by stepping out. In chapter 2 and verse number 18, he says, I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, sounds good, you can take care of the faith department, I'll handle the works department. Not so fast. You can no more show me that your works apart from your faith, then I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith fit together hand and glove. So today, you may say, preacher, how is it that if I'd step out and just come to the front that that would work a miracle? I'll tell you what happens. Just like when we stand at the end of the church, something happens in our mind, right? We think, okay, it's time to pray. We're going to surrender to God. There's something that happens. May I be excused from the table? Yeah. You get up and shove your chair in, clear your plate, and away you go, and you're on to the next thing. A change of position sometimes helps us. And this is not magical, but what I want you and I to do in our mind is wherever we need God to take us, let these next steps be steps that lead us toward freedom. This altar is open for you and I. The road to new is open. What step do you need to take in your life? What change do you need to see happen in your life? Jesus is here to meet you today. This is the pool of Siloam. This is the place where you can wash and go seen. We're not going to be able to just sit idly by and see God do what He wants to do. This altar is open to surrender to Him.